It's an awesome day, you know? Today is the day the Lord's made. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And it's good to be in God's presence. It's the environment we were created to be in, you know? So anyway, thanks for being here this morning. And got some snow out there. Do we have any snow people? Like anyone that like actually enjoys snow? Okay. See, first service, it was like two hands. And I got booed off the stage. I'm just kidding. How about the like snow haters? I think the snow likers won. That's kind of interesting. You need at least one or two good snows every winter, right? And yesterday, our family went for a little hike in the snow. We tried to make a snowman. I don't know where my wife went. It's more of just like a snow like pyramid or something. It doesn't really have any shape to it. He needs to work out some, but he's lost all his tone. Anyway, we're glad you're here this morning. So since the beginning of the new year, we've been in a series called The Better Way. We're talking about love and how love is the better way to live this life, to walk the walk we're called to live. It's the better way. And so kind of up to this point, Pastor Luke's been talking about God loving us and just receiving the love of God for us. And knowing that God loves us. Love is like the most important thing we could talk about. And it is. I mean, because if we miss it here, we've missed it, right? I mean, like, if I miss God's love for me, if I miss loving God, if I miss loving my neighbor, what else can we talk about? What are we going to sit here and talk about? Like, religion, you know, I mean, like, just we need that, man. It's like love is everything. It's the foundation of our Christian walk. It's the foundation of everything. And so I hope you've gotten a lot from the last couple of weeks of this series. I mean, I've loved it so much. It's been probably one of my favorite series in a while. Just talking about the love of God for us. Pastor Luke talked about, man, one of the devil's main tactics is to get us to doubt God's love for us. You know, and just to get us to think that maybe you went through a tough situation and, you know, the enemy would come and say, see, God doesn't care. See, and like maybe the enemy would come and try to say, God's mad at you. Maybe you messed up the other day or something. See, God's mad at you. God doesn't love you. If we believe those lies, it destroys relationship with God, right? If we start to believe, well, maybe he doesn't love me, you know, and maybe he is mad at me and he doesn't care that much. And it can totally destroy our relationship with God. Because who wants to love someone that's mad at you? Who wants to love someone that, you know, doesn't really care, doesn't really love you? So we spent some time talking about, man, just God's love for us. Talked about how God doesn't just love people. God loves me. Yeah? I think in every believer's life, there has to be a shift from knowing that God loves people to believing that God loves me, right? Because you could ask a million people like, hey, do you know that God loves people? And I mean, you could go ask people on the street and they'd be like, yeah, I know God. Yeah, God loves people. But if you came and you said, do you truly, truly believe that Jesus loves you? It's like harder to, it's like for some reason we struggle with that a little bit, right? We struggle with that for some reason. And so we've been pounding that point home that Jesus loves you. You know, John, Jesus' disciple, he got that. He talks about himself. He's like, in the book of John, read it. He's like, I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. And it almost sounds like arrogant, right? Or like prideful, like who's this guy think he is? He thinks he's Jesus' favorite. And it almost can seem like prideful or something. Let me tell you, that's not. It's not prideful to talk like that. I believe that's how Jesus wants us to talk about ourselves. That's how he wants us to see ourselves. He wants us to get that on the inside of us, to truly, truly believe that. Because, you know, I think there, for some reason there's, I don't know if it's just, you know, religion or something, but there's like humility, false humility that makes us sometimes be like, I don't know if God really loves me. I mean, come on. I've messed up so much. Maybe God loves that guy because he's perfect, but me, God doesn't love me. And we can for one reason or another, kind of like dismiss God's love for us. Let me tell you, that hurts God's heart, right? Like for the parents in the room, if your kid came to you and was like, well, I know I had a temper tantrum the other day, so I know mommy doesn't love me anymore. That would like crush your heart, wouldn't it? And absolutely break your heart. And so that's the same with us and God. He wants us to say that. I'm the one that Jesus loves. I'm Jesus's favorite. So, you know, John made it a habit of, he like confessed that over his life all the time. He was speaking that out. I think it's something that we should be doing as well too. You know, it's something that we should do in our Christian walks is just say, man, Jesus, I'm your favorite. I'm the one that Jesus loves. Not just some other guy that, so it's huge just to know that personal, intimate love that the Lord has for us, right? And so we've read this verse a couple times in the past couple weeks. It's 1 John 4:19. I'm just kind of like recapping the last few weeks. 1 John 4:19, we've read this. It says, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. I like how the message reads it like this. The message says, first we were loved, now we love. First we were loved, now we loved. So I want to talk about loving God this morning, but even just kind of in recap, I think it's, man, it's so important that we understand that it's going to be hard for us to love God until we know how much God loves us. You know, we can only mirror back the love that we've seen. You know, I can only love God to the extent that I know how much he loves me. And so, you know, before we even get into talking about loving God, I think it's just important this morning, man, just to remind ourselves again that even if it was just for us, Jesus would have died on the cross, right? Amen. When they were nailing his hands, he was thinking of you. Yes. When he said, forgive them for they know not what they do, he wasn't talking about the Roman guards, he was talking about you. Yes. God loves you. Jesus, so let's go ahead and pray. And let's just, once again, receive the love of God this morning before we even go any further. Once again, invite the Lord to reveal his love to us, pour out his love for us. So, Father, we love you. We come to you in the name of Jesus, and we receive your love for us this morning, God. We don't fight it off. We don't downplay it. We don't make it seem like less than it is, God. We know that we're the ones that you love, that you paid a high price for. And Father, this morning, God, would you give us spiritual eyes to see? Would you give us spiritual ears to hear? Would you give us the faith of a child this morning to come to your word? God, we're not interested in religion. We're not interested in checking off our weekly church attendance list. God, we want an encounter with you, Father. We want to hear your voice this morning. We want to leave different than we came. We want to love you more deeply. We want to intimately love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where it seemed like everything was like hanging on one essential detail? So an example would be this. Maybe you wanted to, your family was planning on, you know, buying a new house, but everything was hanging on, well, I got to sell my old house first. Maybe you've been in a situation like that, or maybe you wanted to move to a new city, or you wanted to move to a new state, and you're thinking about moving and all this stuff, but then everything is hanging on, well, first I've got to get a job in that new city or that new state, right? And it's like just everything's hanging on a certain detail. I know for me, when I graduated from college, I wanted to move back here to West Virginia, and I was excited to do that. I wanted to, but everything was hanging on, okay, well, I need to get a job here first. I can't, you know, that'd be important that I have a job before I randomly move here. And if you've been in a situation like that, then you probably understand that it's kind of like frustrating a little bit, and it's hard because it's like everything's on hold, right? It's like you can't really move forward. You can't really do anything. Like for me, I couldn't really like start packing up my car and start renting apartments. And, you know, like I couldn't really do much because there was that one really essential detail that hadn't quite gotten figured out yet. And so it was kind of putting everything else on hold in my life. Everything was hanging on that one detail. So I want to talk about that this morning. And turn to Matthew 22 in your Bibles. Dozer not to clean this cup for me this morning. No backwashing it at all from last week. It's also new water from last week, so I think Dozer really loves me. I'm the one that Dozer loves. I'm Dozer's favorite. very little backwash. Matthew 22, read in verse 36. Well, no, we'll start in verse 35. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Verse 36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So we have a religious leader, a guy that's, you know, he's all about rules and laws and commandments, and he comes to Jesus. It says he's trying to like trap him, trick him. And he comes to Jesus and he says, what's the greatest commandment? What's the number one, the most important thing, the most important commandment? Jesus says, what? Love God. The most important thing. Like we just said this morning, the most important thing we could talk about, love God, right? That's what Jesus says. Loving God is the most important thing. But then, and we've read this passage even in this series. But then in verse 40, Jesus says something that's very interesting, and it kind of caught my attention. In verse 40, it says, all the law and the prophets hang on these commandments. You can say this one command. Everything hangs on this commandment. What does that mean? What is Jesus saying? All the law and the prophets hang on this. What he's saying is everything in the Word of God, everything in this book, right? Everything when it comes to living a Christian godly life, it all hangs on loving God. It all hangs on loving God. So living righteous, being obedient to the Lord, living holy, it all hangs on loving God. Saying, I want to love people more. I want to be a better neighbor. I want to have a heart for the lost. You know, it all hangs on loving God. I want to be a better spouse, a better parent, a better, it all hangs on loving God. I hope this helps someone today, because maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, man, I struggle with sin. There's maybe this one area of sin that I know I shouldn't do it. I know all the Bible verses that say I shouldn't do it, and I've tried to stop, and I seem like I can't, and it seems like I just can't overcome this thing, and I've tried a million times. Maybe that's you this morning. Or maybe you would say, man, I don't love people like I know I should. I know I'm supposed to love people. I'm supposed to love my neighbor. I struggle with that. I don't know why. I don't have a heart for the lost like I know I should. I people that are lost, I don't care like I should care. Maybe you're saying, man, I know I'm supposed to be a better husband. I'm supposed to be a better wife, better parent. I just don't know how. I don't know what to do. Let me tell you this morning, you don't need more religion. You don't need more programs, 28-step program. You don't need more guilt. I think some people think if they feel more guilty, then they'll finally stop. No, you don't need more guilt. You don't need more laws, regulations. No, there is a better way, guys. There is a better way to do this life. A simpler way to do this life. You need to love God more. Everything hangs on loving God. Everything in the law and the prophets, it all hangs on what? It hangs on loving God. Yes. Man, when you fall in love with Jesus, this whole Christian life gets really simple. Yes. When you fall in love with Jesus, this whole Christian life, it gets really easy. People like to make it really complicated and say, follow all these rules, do all this stuff. Religion's really hard, guys. Religion's hard. It's impossible. You can't do it. Luke 11, Jesus says in Luke 11:46, he says, what sorrow awaits you experts in religious law, for you crush people with unbearable religious demands. Jesus is saying, trying to follow all that stuff, it's unbearable. Another translation says it's impossible. Religion is hard. You can't do it. Good luck. You can't. Loving Jesus is really easy, and it makes life really, really easy, and it makes fulfilling, and I think it's Romans 13, it says, love fulfills the law, right? Loving God, all of a sudden, This gets really easy, and it gets really simple. So here's something I've learned, and I think this will help somebody. And it corresponds with the passage we just read. Here's what I've learned in my life, man. The more I love Jesus, the more I love people he's died for. The more I love Jesus, the more I hate sin, and I don't want to sin. The more I love Jesus, the more I want to obey him. The more I love Jesus, I just want to like give myself to him completely and surrender my whole life. The more I love Jesus, the more I'm going to follow him and do what he says, and no one has to twist my arm because I love Jesus. Amen? That's what I've noticed in my life, guys. You know, a list of rules and laws doesn't make me want to change. Loving Jesus does. Loving Jesus makes me want to fulfill the law and do what he tells me to do. You know, trying to be obedient to the word of God, you got to hear this, trying to be obedient to the word of God without loving Jesus is impossible. Good luck. It's going to be really hard. Everything hangs on loving Jesus. All the law and the prophets, it all hangs on this one thing, this one really simple thing, loving God. John 14, you want to turn there too? John chapter 14. Everything hangs on loving Jesus. It's the better way. Everything gets simple when you fall in love with Jesus. Everything gets easy when you fall in love with Jesus. Religion's hard. John 14, just go to 15 here. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So I read that verse a lot growing up, right? As you know, when I'm a youth pastor, I preached that verse probably a lot. And the whole time I was growing up and, you know, even like, you know, preaching that verse and stuff, I always understood it to mean something like this, like, if I really, really love Jesus, if I really love Jesus, then I will prove it by keeping all the commandments. I'll prove it. Or maybe I understood it as like, it was like Jesus giving me like a hard command, like, if you love me, you'd better keep all my commands. That's how I kind of understood it, like, you know, proving my love for Jesus, jumping through all the hoops to prove my love for Jesus. But then one day, just recently, I read this verse in a different translation, a more literal translation than the ESV, and it reads like this. Throw it on the screen there. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's just two words different, but that's really different. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So it switched in my mind to like, okay, if I really love Jesus, then I'm going to prove it a lot. And I'm going to like always try to strive for, look, Jesus, look how much I love you. I've done all these things. But then it switched to, if I love Jesus, I will keep all his commandments. It the natural byproduct of loving the Lord, the natural byproduct is I'm going to do everything. I'm going to keep the commandments. No one has to twist my arm or convince me to do it. Just out of my love for Jesus, I'm going to. That's a huge shift in thinking. That changed how I view this thing a lot. If you love me, you will. It's just going to be natural. I'm going to. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. When you love Jesus, man, sin loses its appeal a whole lot. When you fall in love with Jesus, sin loses its appeal. You know, I've learned in my life, just in loving Jesus, that, you know, when it comes to like temptation and stuff in your life, like sin, it shifts from, when you fall in love with Jesus, it shifts from, man, I shouldn't do that, to I don't want to do that. And an example could be, okay, maybe, you know, as a young guy or something, you're going to a friend's house and they're like, hey, we're gonna watch an X-rated movie and we're gonna, you know, pull out the vodka and we're gonna have a good time. Religion says, I shouldn't do that. Basically what you're saying, I kind of want to do that, but I shouldn't, you know, I'm a Christian now, and if I did that, that would break the rules. So I shouldn't do that. But when you fall in love with Jesus, you say, I don't want to do that. That doesn't appeal to me. Nothing that this world tries to offer me. I want Jesus. I love Jesus. I don't want to break his heart, right? When you that's the thing. When you fall in love with Jesus, you don't want to break his heart. All of a sudden, this whole thing gets really simple and gets really easy. I want to please Jesus. I want to love Jesus. I don't want to do anything contrary to that. You know, it's impossible to love Jesus and love sin at the same time. They both can't coexist. You'll love one or the other. You can't love sin and love Jesus at the same time. Maybe you don't have a sin problem. You just have a loving Jesus problem. Psalm 37, verse 4. It's one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. Psalm 37, verse 4. Maybe you know it. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I like I said, this is one of my favorite passages, and it interests me. It's a very interesting passage. And so I studied it, and I looked up all the Hebrew words, what all the good, you know, all the good pastors do. They look up all the Hebrew words and the Greek words. And I found out, and maybe you've heard this before, but that word give is maybe better translated put. So it would read like this. It would delight yourself in the Lord, and he will put desires in your heart, right? If you delight yourself, you love Jesus. You just live a life of I'm more and more deeply falling in love with Jesus. When you do that, do you know what that means? God starts to shift to the desires of your heart. Maybe I used to desire this. I don't anymore. Instead, I desire this instead. When you fall in love with Jesus, when you delight yourself in Jesus, he puts new desires in your heart. He takes out old desires and puts in new desires. Everything hangs on loving Jesus. Everything. Doesn't hang on following rules. Doesn't hang on following programs. And it hangs on loving Jesus. It's the better way. Just loving Jesus is the better way. We were not designed to love religion. Hear me on this. We weren't designed to love religion. We were designed to love Jesus. It's hard to love religion. It's easy to love a person, the person of Jesus, right? Let me ask you, do you have feelings for Jesus? Do you have feelings for Jesus? It might sound weird. Really, do you have feelings for Jesus? If someone was to ask you, well, what does Jesus mean to you? How would you answer that? Would there be like tears start to well up in your face? When was the day, when did you fall in love with Jesus? When was it? When did you fall? I'm not saying when was the day that you raised a hand or you came to church for the first time. I'm saying when was the day that it was like something changed and it was like God became real? When was the day you fell in love with Jesus? You can't love religion. You can't love rules. You can love Jesus and it'll change your life. I think one of the saddest things I can think about is people that have maybe gone to church almost their whole life, no Bible verses, have 10 Bibles in their basement, but they've never fallen in love with Jesus. They've never had a time when they truly fell in love with the person of Jesus. That's really sad. Can we go ahead and stand on our feet this morning? Go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. Love is the better way. Loving Jesus is the better way. Jesus loving you is the better way.